station proprietor, could I have a little lemon juice? And tried to scrub and get it off. It bothered me because of that little spot. So is it when it comes down with sin. If you can wallow in sin, if you can lay around in wrong, do wrong and feel nothing, huh? You have become then accustomed to the stain of sin. When you can wallow in sin, roll around in it and feel nothing, you have not been saved. Just simple as that, like it or not, you have not been redeemed. There's something about sin that won't let you be satisfied. I know I did wrong, God. He'll worry you and worry you and worry you and worry you over and over and over and over and over again. You just can't be satisfied. So I hear him saying, I'm burdened. I'm weighed with this guilt. It's heavy. It's laden upon me. But have mercy on me, O God. According to thy loving kindness, according to the multitudes of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgression. And then listen to what he says in that next verse. He says, wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me of my sin. Here was a king who slept on silk sheets. Here was a king who used perfumed soaps. Here was a king who bathed in marble tubs, wore royal robes, slept on downy pillows beneath hanging chandeliers. I hear him saying, wash me thoroughly for my iniquity. And cleanse me of my sin. Wash me. Wash me. I'm dirty. I'm filthy. Lord, wash me. I tell you, that's the sign that you saved. That's the sign you have been born again. You can't stand stewing around in the wrongs of sin. Oh, here's what I'm talking about. You have a sheep on one hand and a hog on the other hand. If a sheep accidentally slips and falls into a mud hole, that sheep will kick and prick and prance and prank and hustle with all within him to get out of that mud hole, because it's not the sheep's nature. But if a hog just sees a mud hole, he'll run to that mud hole, jump over in it, and wallow down in the mud, because that's the hog's nature. A man who is a sinner and sin can lay around in it. But when you've been born again, when you know Jesus, you cannot wallow in sin and be satisfied, because it is not your nature. You understand me, don't you? It's just not your nature. So then, Reverend, what are the consequences of a believer's sin? The first thing this says to us is that sin for the believer stains and soils the soul. Then I heard him say in that third verse, for I acknowledge my transgression. Listen now, my sin is ever before me. Everywhere I go, everything I do, I see my sin. It's what you might call my ever-present past. The perfect present past, though it's over, and I'm in the present, my past haunts me. It's ever before me. David said, everything I do, everywhere I go, I see my sin. It's ever before me. Ever before me. Every morning I get ready to bathe, step over in my bathing pool. And I look down in the gleaming waters below. Instead of seeing my own face, look like I see the face of old Uriah. It's ever before me. Every time I fill my glass with wine to drink, I think about how I tried to get Uriah drunk so he could go home to his wife, and everybody would think my baby was his baby. It's ever before me. Every time I sit down to write a letter, I think about how I wrote Uriah's death notice, telling Joab to put him on the front line. And when the battle gets hot, draw away from him. It's ever before me. Every time I see the mailman come, I think about how I used Uriah to be the mail carrier and deliver his own death notice. It's ever before me. Not every time, every time I give parties and I employ a band to play music that's sweet enough to swell the breeze. When I hear them playing, it sounds to me like they're playing the voice of old Uriah. I can't even play my harp no more. That harp I used to play, the Lord is my shepherd. And I shall not want, the Lord is my light and my salvation. I can't play no more. When I start picking my harp, it sounds like it blabs out the voice of old Uriah. Every time I go to bed, I can't have sweet dreams no more. But instead, I have a nightmare. I toss and turn. Can't sleep at night. Can't eat a bite. It's ever before me. It hounds me. It haunts me. Day and night. Night and day. All day. All night. It's ever before me. Oh, how grueling it must have been for this man to have felt that he couldn't escape his sin. Summer and winter, day and night, in season, out of season, all day, all night, the ugliest, most hideous spectrum of all time, relentlessly pointing its accusing finger into the contrite penitent's face. It's ever before me. When David would lay down at night, that sin would drench his pillow with tears. It rose with him every morning, chucked him down through every day. Ever before me, ever before me. I'm about to go out of my mind. It's ever before me. That says to us today, that sin, next of all, puts misery in the mind. Lord have mercy. It puts misery in the mind. You don't hear me? I said sin puts misery in the mind. Back end is another juncture that shows the distinction between sinner and saved man. Some folk can sin and pass all over it, but not when you have the Holy Spirit. Down in your heart, it won't let you pass. It won't let it get out of your mind. It won't do it, I tell you. It'll worry you like a sore. It just festers and festers and festers, and digs and digs and eats away and eats away over and over and over and over again. Ever before me. So the second thing that sin does is put misery in the mind. thing that sin does touch is that it stains the conscience. Oh, Lord, have mercy. It stains your conscience. In other words, it convicts your conscience. It did David that way. That's why he said, against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thine sight. Against thee, oh Lord, have I sinned. Let me ask you a question. You know what happens when a believer, a saint and child of God, sins? Do you know what happens? I'll tell you what happens. The first thing when a sinner, when a man who is saved begins to sin, he rolls up his collar. Then he pulls down his hat, puts shade on his eyes, waits until the sun goes down. And then he slips and slides, peeps and hides, goes in into the den of iniquity, does that sin, commits that wrong. But after a while, he becomes aware of the fact that there is an eye that never sleeps nor slumbers. There is an eye that sees all. Though I have been successful in pulling the wool over everybody else's eyes, I've fooled all my friends, fooled all my loved ones. But one you cannot fool, one whose eyes you cannot pull the wool, is the eye of God. When he realized that God knew, he says, against thee, O God, thee only have I sinned, done this evil in thine sight. Against thee, Lord have mercy. Isn't that something? He said, against God I've sinned. But just what I thought he sinned against Uriah. He did. I thought he sinned against Bathsheba. I thought he sinned against his wives, his children, his body. I thought he sinned against the kingdom of Israel. He did, but he's looking at the whole spectrum of sin. He looks at the bottom line. No matter who I do wrong and sin against, that sin is against nobody but God, because only God is without sin. Whatever I do to hurt you or sin against you, you've sinned like I have. So that sin is perpetrated against nobody but God. Against thee and thee only have I sinned. It's as if he's saying, the God of my light and my salvation, he who has brought me, taught me, kept me, provided for me, my light and my salvation, the good shepherd, he who has done for me, I have sinned against him. That again is another difference in believer and sinner. When a sinner man sins, he worries about what his sins will do to himself. But when a believer sins, he worries about what his sins will do to God. No wonder he said, against thee and thee only. You ain't saying that, but I know I'm preaching. Against thee and thee only have I sinned, done this evil in thy sight. So then sin convicts the conscience. Sin stains the inner composure. Is that all, Jasper? No. The next thing sin does, it takes away your joy. In that 8th verse it said, make me to hear the joy and gladness which the bones thou hast broken may rejoice. No, down in that 12th verse, he says, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. No joke. Let me ask you a question. Do you know the most miserable man or woman in the world? No, it's not the unsaved man. But the most miserable man or woman in the world is that man or woman who is saved but has lost fellowship with God. That's what was wrong with David. David was a believer. He believed in God. He was saved, had salvation. But David had no fellowship. Oh, you don't hear me. Nowhere did he say, Lord, give me back my salvation. But the joy is gone. I can't feel the same when time to worship. No joy. That's the most miserable man in the world. When he is saved, but have no fellowship with God. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Let me ask you, are you a backslider? Are you? I said, are you a backslider? If you don't know, let me give you a little test that will help you decide and come to if you are a backslider. Oh, it's not a hard test. And you don't have to answer me openly, but just say within yourself the answer. Do you right here, right now, have in your heart joy unspeakable? Do you have joy all the time? If you don't, you are a backslider. That's what I said. You are a backslider. It depends upon what happens. Happiness comes from the outer in heaven. But joy comes from within. Oh, you don't know happiness, joy. What's the difference? Happiness is like a thermometer. It's determined by the conditions on the outside. Joy is like the thermostat. It controls the conditions. Happiness. Nobody want to be happy all the time. Nobody being happy all the time. Happy in the morning, happy at the noonday, happy at the midnight hour. That's just like eating ice cream at every meal. You don't want to be ice cream all the time. But joy, I want to have joy all the time. I want joy in sorrow, joy in teardrops, joy in good times, joy in bad times, joy when things are well, joy when things are bad. I want joy all the time. So I am saying, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Because in substance what it does, sin ultimately takes away the joy. So my brother and sister, as I hurry to close, here we see today we found some of the subsequent consequences of sin as it relates to the life of the believer. And my brother and my sister, the question arises, what does sin do to he or she who is saved? And just like I told you in the beginning, that sin, you understand, stains and then soils the soul. My God, and then sin puts misery down in the mind. My Lord, and then sin convicts a man or woman's conscience. And finally, sin would take away your joy. my God, and I want to tell you this morning, Gregor, well, there are some things. My Lord, and then sin convicts a man or woman's conscience. And finally, sin will take away your joy. My God, and I want to tell you this morning, Gregor, well, there are some things that only God can move. Oh, Lord, and here stood and bowed old David, and crying out unto the God for spiritual excellence. And in other words, asking God to give me holiness. Oh, Lord, and holiness is one thing. Well, you cannot go to no man and no woman and ask them for. Well, holiness is one thing that only God can give. Oh, Lord, and no matter how modernized and technicalized we become in the 1980s, well, there are some things that only God can give. Oh, Lord, and only God can give relief from a guilty conscience. And only God can remove moral regrets. Oh, Lord, and only God can take away disorderly attention. And finally, only God can give you a clean heart. Oh, Lord, and somebody's here in this room today. Well, being here, you sometime can testify. Well, Lord, I've done some things wrong to people. And when I did them wrong, I turned around and went to them. And asked them to forgive me. And in other words, I apologize for my wrongdoing. Yes, but still, every time you see them, well, your mind goes back to that thing that you did to them. Oh, Lord, and all that says is some things God got to move. Oh, Lord, and somebody here can testify. Well, Lord, there have been times that I have done wrong. And there have been times I've done little dirty things. And thought I had forgiveness for it. Yeah, but every time I think about it, well, it makes me feel that I just did it. Yes, that might be then one of those things that God is going to have to remove. Oh, Lord, and somebody's here who has a bad habit. And you've been struggling and trying with all that is within you to relieve yourself of that habit. Yes, but before you lose the desire and can lose the habit that you're trying to do away with, well, the Lord got to come down and help you do that. Yes, and I hear somebody saying, well, Reverend, I have a no good man. And I have a no good woman. Yes, instead of them hustling, trying to help me, they're pulling one way and I'm going another way. And Reverend, I've been trying to get rid of him, but he just won't leave. Well, that might be one of the things the Lord got to move. Oh, Lord. And here was David now saying, Lord,
There's something down in my heart. They won't let me feel your spirit moving no more in the altar of my heart. The thrill is gone. I want you, Lord, well, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Oh, Lord, you cannot sin today and then be successful. Did you hear what I'm saying? Nobody can sin and get away from it. Yes, somebody said, if you sow a thought, you reap an act. If you sow an act, you reap a habit. You sow a habit, you reap character. You sow character, you reap your destiny. You sow destiny, you reap eternity. Do you hear what I'm saying? You cannot sin and then not pay for your sin. Yeah. It makes no difference if God forgives you of your sin. You still just got to pay. Oh, you don't hear me. I said, you still just got to pay. Do you hear what I'm saying? It's no way because David did wrong. And I heard the prophet Nathan saying, well, it's all right, David. God has forgiven you of your sin. And I want you now to know the sword will never leave thine house. And you know what happened behind God forgiving him. One son by one wife killed a sister by another wife. And another son by another wife killed that brother by killing his sister. The sword never left his life. And one son sat down at the gate of the temple and tried to get all the influence away from his father. Do you hear what I'm saying? My God, you cannot sin, I said, and get by with it. Oh, Lord. And as I stop here today and look down through the doctrine of sin, well, I find that nature has formed me. School informed me. Sin deformed me. But thank God today that Jesus transformed me. Do I have a witness? Oh, Lord. Oh, Jesus. Did you hear what I'm saying? Paid the price for my sin. Yes, he did. You know, when I was a child, great God, well, I read what they call nobody but Jesus. Do I have a witness? Nobody but Jesus. Nobody but Jesus came down to the world, died one Friday evening, went down in the grave, stayed there, children, all night, Friday night. Yes, he did. But early Sunday morning, he got up out of a dusty grave, pulled off a dying shroud, picked up all the pieces. I heard him saying, whosoever will, let him come.
You are blessed and revived now, by the KAYT Gospel Hour. As we venture back in the past for a time of revival with oldies and goodies in sermon and song.
Lead me on. He's a wonder in my
soul. Ladies and gentlemen, the gospel is on your radio.
I'm thirsty.
This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria, 88.1. K255BT, Monroe, West Monroe, 98.9. K223BI. Grief.